Good? All right? Yeah. We're all a work in progress, right? Yeah. As long as we keep a humble attitude and spirit and a teachable spirit and a cooperative spirit, God can just do miracles and wonders. And after the service today, if you are sick in your body, you need maybe just to be prayed for directly, come on up. And God has been just doing all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders, and awesome things are taking place. And Corinne and Jerry, it's good to have you guys back. It's good to have our visitors here with us today. And you guys, good to see you again back there. We're going to have you preach in a few minutes, so get ready. And no, I'm kidding. Yes. No, he'd come running up here. I'll let him preach too. Okay. But I know you're going to have lots to say. And why don't you just give us a little snippet about what God's been doing on your trip. And then tonight, maybe we can give you some, I know we can if you're here. We'll give you some more time to talk and share.
Well, I'm going to start. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jerry, and this is my wife, Corinne. And grandson, Ethan, right up here. And we had a trip, and it lasted about 16 days, where we went from here through the northern part of California and then into Nevada, Reno, Las Vegas, into Phoenix, and then back to the coast on Highway 1 through the southern part of California, and then back up through California, Oregon, and back home. There's so much happened, but I just want to mention that it was definitely a God trip. Amen. Because we had got lost and had no idea where we were at, had no idea where we were going, and we come to a spot, and there was a couple there, and God directed us to pray for this couple. And right there on the spot, they accepted Jesus as their Lord.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, God can direct us. It wasn't me. It wasn't Corinne. It was definitely God. And if we allow Him to use us, it'll be to His glory. And here's my wife, Corinne.
Pastor, the Lord's got a theme this morning. I don't know if you've caught it or not, but it's yielding. Yielding. When we left every morning, when we got up, we prayed and we said, God, today is your day. Wherever you need us, take us there.
Yes.
The map is yours, Lord, and you lead us. And Ethan has a story he needs to tell maybe tonight. Oh, you won't be here tonight, will you? But I want you to know, for everybody that prayed for us, and especially for Debbie, who held down the home front, we had people saved. Almost at every place we went, we had people healed. We had a woman that had sciatic nerve pain that was completely set free in Walmart.
Hallelujah.
We had
in Walmart.
In Walmart, yes. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't in the church.
Yeah, no. In fact, you know, the rest stops. God's favorite place is rest stops. You know, we stopped at one, and 15 minutes later, Ethan had to go to the bathroom. We went to another one, and God set up appointments every place we went.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to know that it goes to your account, those that were faithful to pray for us, because there were so many people saved. Last night, you know, night before last, we spent 4.5 hours with two families, and those families had a form of religion, but didn't know about relationship, and one had completely walked away from the Lord, and the Lord had said, this is your last time. And we had a 17-year-old girl give her heart to the Lord. And
hallelujah.
I mean, you know, it was salvation, salvation, healing, healing. Let God have you.
Yes.
No matter what your day is, let God have the day. Because when you travel with Him, He leads you.
Yes.
And every place you go is a God appointment.
Wow.
And it's exciting. These kids have learned that to walk in His direction, you never know what to expect.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And you know what? God always shows up.
That is so awesome. Go ahead, Ethan. Yeah.
This was amazing. This young boy did.
We go to a rest stop, and I thought I had to go to the bathroom. When I got there, I'm like, I don't have to go. And I see this man, and he had no leg. And I walk up to to Nana, and I'm like, go pray for him. She's like, you. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. And as soon as I said that, I had this horrible stomach ache. I'm like, Lord, no. So I'm like, okay, I'll go do it. And then it just went away. And and I grabbed my papa, and we walked over to him. And he had tattoos. He wasn't a very, a nice person. And I asked him if I could pray for him, and he was in this van. Everyone in the van bowed their head. And I'm like, can I lay my hand on you? And he said, sure. And we prayed over him, and he told me, thank you. And me and my papa were walking away, and my papa said to me, he's like, that was a powerful prayer.
Yeah.
And we all believe that he was healed. He has a new leg.
Yeah.
I'm happy. And we had a great trip. A couple times we had bad, and then at Carrie's was just, I'm not going there again.
But you know, that's life, isn't it? It's a mixture. And when we walk with Jesus, you got to expect opposition too. You know, there's going to be some battles to fight. You're always going to have a giant before every victory. Hallelujah. I like hearing myself, but not that much. So, wow. How many worshipers are in here this morning? Yeah. You know, we got to be careful that we don't reduce worship just down to a time that we have on Sunday morning, to where we are singing songs that we enjoy and hearing some music, hopefully, that you enjoy. But we're singing songs, and then we say, well, I went to church to worship, meaning I went to church and we sang the songs and maybe we gave an offering. And that is all part of worship. And don't get me wrong. That's part of worship. But it's much more than just singing songs, would you agree? And we're going to talk about this morning, because worship is something that your whole life is supposed to be about. Our whole life is to be worship to God. And if you will listen this morning, if we can just listen, because I know the Spirit of God is going to drop something in your spirit, but you're going to have to get a hold of it. And if you would listen to what God is saying, and you will make a point to commit yourself to be faithful to the Word of God, this Word today can literally change your life from this point forward. I say that with all confidence, that this Word today can change your life if you'll get a hold of it. If you'll listen to what is being said. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the things of Jesus right now and release them to us, Lord. I pray that you will sow the Word of God into our hearts with understanding and transform us by it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, the Lord said, but the hour is come, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now we know that in Israel they were known to be the worshipers of Jehovah, the one true God. Throughout history, they had through the tabernacles of David and other times throughout history, God had established, the temple as the center of worship, or the tabernacle in the wilderness under Moses, and as a center of worship where they would offer sacrifices for sins, and they would come and they would sing and they make music before the Lord. They would dance before the Lord. There were certain psalms that were called the Psalms of Ascent, that as they would sing, and they would actually become more demonstrative in dancing and expressing themselves, clapping, yes, shouting to God, as they would make their way and actually like dance their way up with timbrels and harps and all the instruments and the loud sounding cymbals, you know, before, as they made their way up towards the Temple Mount. But there are different degrees of worship. That is something that we do when we come together. Sometimes we start out in more of the exuberant clap, hand clapping, foot stomping, maybe jumping. The kids like to do the pogo, you know. But that's more of an outer court experience. And there's nothing wrong with that, because what music does and what singing does in Psalms 100, it says, come before His presence with what? Singing. What it does is it unites the hearts of believers together. It brings us together when we're on the same sheet of music. We're on the same, song, singing together. It's uniting our hearts. And so worship in spirit does not necessarily begin in some deep, reverent, spiritual atmosphere. Sometimes it's more, in a sense, a fleshly experience at first. Would you agree? And some people get bent out of shape because people are just, you know, getting so expressive and jumping up and down and they're having a good time. How many know that God likes to have a good time too? He's having a good time with us. He enjoys His children who are rejoicing before Him. Amen? And we don't have a problem with that here. I know that. But in some places they do. They have a problem with people getting happy. And I don't serve an unhappy God, by the way. My God is very happy. He's the happiest of all. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that God has given Jesus the oil of joy above all His fellows. Amen? He's the most joyful of all. So we can have joy in the Holy Spirit too because we walk with Jesus and because the Lord is in our hearts. Reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. Reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God is one interpretation of that word worship. We use the word worship, and it's from an old English word called worth-ship, a word which denotes the worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. And another meaning of worship, are you ready for this? Is to kiss. To kiss towards. In marriage, in intimacy, in relationship, there is a form of worship. Everybody worships something. And in a sense, when you give honor to people who deserve honor, in a sense, you're giving worship to them. You're showing, you know, that they are worthy of honor, and you want to bless them because they're worthy of honor. And there's nothing wrong with that. We are to honor those who deserve honor. Amen? Honor to whom honor is due. But what we need to remember is God, who is the God of all honor, amen, and all glory and all power, and who's the one who bestows upon mankind giftings that would maybe put us in a position where we could be honored. All good gifts come down from the Father. Would you agree? It's a gift from God. The grace is of God, not of us. So when you honor the man or woman of God, you're actually honoring God who you don't see as well. It's okay to honor people. Most of us have heard the word, I worship the ground that they walk on. Now that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? But we certainly should be worshiping Jesus, amen, at His feet. And I want to talk about what this means to really worship, because, again, sometimes we just got it reduced down to a little thing we do on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we get together. We're going to church to worship, but worship is an entire life experience. So are you today truly a worshiper of God? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. Am I really a worshiper of God? Is it just based upon the fact that I sing a few songs once in a while? That does not make you a worshiper, folks. Yes, you're worshiping to some degree, on some level. But music is a beginning point sometimes. It's a way that unites us. But then there is the giving of thanks. There is the giving of praise to God because He is worthy. And you worship He who is worthy. If you are honoring God, you will bless Him with the fruit of your lips. When you give thanks, when you give praise to God, you are honoring Him. When you give to others, you are honoring the one you don't see. When you bless other people, when you love on people, you are loving on God. We cannot say we love God and not love people. Say amen if I'm telling the truth today. Psalms 27 and verse 8, David said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" When we sing together, when we offer praise, when we offer thanks to God, it's positioning our hearts, God bless you guys, to approach His throne. How many know that when you approach the throne of royalty, you have to have the right attitude? Come before his presence with singing. Amen? Rejoice before the Lord. Bring an offering to the Lord. Come before him with gladness. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. So when we come before God, we need to come with the right attitude. And singing and thanksgiving and praise will shift your attitude if you don't have the right attitude. When you start giving God thanks and reflecting on all of the goodness of the Lord in your life and what He's doing and what He's done and how He's taking care of you, providing for you, there's so many things we can give thanks to God for. Would you agree? And you've heard it said many times here, but thanksgiving is vital because it's the password to get us into the next level. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. It means really with a password. Thank you. And His courts, inner courts, with what? Praise. When you come before the King with thanksgiving and praise, you're approaching, amen? You're getting closer, you're drawing near. And when the Lord said, "Seek my face," my heart, David said, "Lord, your face I will seek." He didn't say, "Seek my feet." He didn't say, "Seek my hand, what I can give you." But he said, "Seek my face." When we are in communion, we're having a relationship, we are, you know, sharing together in the Lord, we're face to face. Amen? I'm not looking down at your feet, and I'm not like some who are just, "Oh, what do you got for, what's in it for me? What do you got for me?" Looking at what you can give me, but I want you. I want the relationship with you. I appreciate your fellowship. Amen? That's where I want to be. I want to be tight with you. I want to have that kind of intimacy with my friends, that, you know, someone I can trust in. Amen? Someone that will be there for me. Someone I know that I could even trust my life with. And you know, I think not a single one of us in here has not in some way been violated by a friend or let down by a friend or disappointed by a friend. No matter how sincere and how good and how wonderful this person might be, every single one of us are fallible and are prone to making mistakes. And occasionally, we're going to do something. If you hang around each other long enough, somebody's going to get offended. And we just got to get it down right now and get it settled that eventually you're going to get your toe stepped on, even by your closest friends. Anybody ever had your toe stepped on by your spouse? Oh, no. That's usually their closest friend. Would you agree? Should be. So it's part of life's experience because we live in a faulty, broken existence in this world. And the key is to not allow that thing to poison you, amen, and that offense to pick it up and carry it with you and walk around in bitterness and unforgiveness, but to release it to God, amen, and let that person go free. Walk in forgiveness because it frees you up. Worship should not be just about receiving from God necessarily and what He can give you. It's not about worshiping just at His feet, but the Lord wants to lift you up so that we are face to face with Him. How many believe in this place this morning that God wants you to walk with Him? How many believe in this place today that God wants you to meet Him face to face? When you have a clean heart, a repentant heart, one that has been purified in the blood of Christ, amen? Then you can have confidence in approaching God and know that it will be safe to come before the King. Amen? And to be even intimate with the King, to have a relationship of trust, of love and camaraderie, friendship with God. Isn't this awesome? That God is allowing us to be His friends. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. In James chapter 5 and verse 17, James said that Elijah was a worshiper. He was a man of prayer. Prayer is a form of worship. Would you agree? God accepts prayer as worship. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Revelation that your prayer is as a sweet fragrance, an offering of as of incense before the throne of grace. God loves to hear from us. God wants to hear your voice. Do you know that He longs to hear from us? He longs to hear our voice. That's why we should pray without ceasing. Because it's pleasurable to the Father. Because the Father accepts prayer as worship to Him. All right, there's one woo over there. Hallelujah. Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab the king, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Now, that's a pretty bold statement coming from the prophet of God. Would you agree? Well, you better make sure that you got that one right. When you're coming before a king and you're telling him, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, this is a man that walked with God, obviously. He knew God. And because of that, he had confidence. And Tony Kemp said this, "The reason Elijah was able to speak in God's place was because he had been in God's face." Isn't that good? The reason Elijah was able to speak in God's place was because he had been in God's face. Do you want to be able to speak in God's place? You got to be in God's face. You've got to seek His face. You've got to be that tight, that close, so that you're hearing very clearly the word of the Lord. Would you agree with me that we should never be presumptuous about prophesying? We should not be doting about and just guessing about and saying things that we know people want to hear, but necessarily not what God is saying. Because if you tell people what they want to hear, you'll get a response from them. Oh, the psychic connection does the same thing. They got people bawling. Oh, how did you know that? You're going to eat lunch today. Oh, how did you know that? Anyways. Then the word of the Lord came to him, verse 2, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Everybody say, "There."
There.
The place called there. How many would I agree that it is very important to be where God wants you to be? God's provision was in the place called there, where He tells you to be. His grace will also be there. God will be where you're supposed to be. Amen? So it's very important that we soul search and we make sure that we're where we're supposed to be. There are people who are not where they're supposed to be. And they wonder why it's just never working out. Well, I'll tell you this right now. If you're not walking with God every day, you're not in the place you're supposed to be. And you cannot expect God's provision. Now the devil can offer you provision if you bow down and worship him. Isn't that right? But whatever he offers has got strings attached. He's going to require more than he ever gave you. He's going to require your soul. So verse 3 says, "Get away from there, right? Go to the brook Cherith, which flows in Jordan. It will be there that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So verse 5 says, "He went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." It didn't say that he went there, had a drink, and decided to go on his way. It says that he stayed there by the brook. Not only do we need to be where God tells us to be, but if we're where He tells us to be, we need to plant where He tells us to plant. Sometimes this applies even to being in the right fellowship. I've had people that said, oh, God called me to this church, you know. And this first time they have a little problem with somebody, well, apparently God didn't call them to that church anymore. The question is, did God call you to the church? Is this where you're supposed to be? If this is where God called you, it doesn't matter if you get offended here. Somebody steps on your toes. You need to be in the assignment that God gives you. If you want God's blessing, His favor on your life, be where He tells you to go. Do what He tells you to do. It's in worship that we're able to hear His voice. When you're face to face with God, you will hear from the Lord, and the Lord will give you your assignment, and He will show you where to go and what to do. And if you do what God tells you to do, and you go where He tells you to go, God will take care of you. You cannot walk with God and be where God wants you to be and not be taken care of by Him. And verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. The brook dried up. Anybody ever feel like a dry brook? Sometimes it's because we're going through a time of testing. Sometimes it's because the dry place causes you to thirst. Because God wants to bring you up. He wants to advance you. He wants to promote you. He wants, and the only way to do that is to get your attention. Hello. I want to bless you. But you're not paying attention. Hello. Day by day, you go about your own business, doing your own thing, and you want me to bless you. I can't bless you unless you're in the place where I command my blessing. Are you hearing that? But sometimes we're going to experience dry places where the brook will dry up. You know, when we're new Christians, oh yeah, hallelujah, man, life is going to be like this from now on out. You know? And then comes the time of the test. And this is where many people do not make it. Many people are like the seed that fell among, you know, the stony ground. It sprung up immediately. With joy received the word, but had no root. And they only endured for a season. When the sun came out, it scorched it and it withered and it died. When testing, when trial came. How many know that God allows testings to promote us? If you want to go to the next grade, you've got to take a test. Amen? Amen? So testing is a good thing. James said, count it all joy when you're being tested. Don't get disgruntled. Don't blame God. Thank God for the test. Thank God that this is an opportunity for God to show up and reveal Himself to you. Because God will if you trust Him. God does not leave His people. He does not forsake us. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. God is faithful. God is true. He does not fail. We're the ones that fail. So God is giving him instruction here. He's telling him where to go, what to do. And then he finds himself in the place that God called him to be. The brook dries up. Hey, water's gone. Now, I want to say these things. True worshipers, number one, have a face-to-face encounter with God. That's true worship. True worship is singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, offering praise to God in the Spirit. True worship is offering thanksgiving. True worship is obedience to the instructions of the Lord. God considers obedience the best act of worship. It's not enough even to offer sacrifices, to give yourself and give your money. If you're not obedient to the Lord, you're not listening to what He says, that's not true worship. The worship that God accepts is when you trust Him enough to do what He says. And when you trust Him enough to do what He says, He is pleased by that. He accepts that as worship. And God will bless you for being obedient. How many believe God wants to bless you? He's the kind of father that wants to bless. How much more does a father want to bless us? If we want to bless our kids and give them good things, how much more your Father in heaven wants to bless you and give you good things? He wants to give you more of Him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, that means you've been born of the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh, You mean I got to walk in the Spirit too? Yes, we are born of the Spirit. It's not enough to make some kind of decision at the altar and then go on your merry way thinking, I got a ticket to heaven. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Amen? Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. But if we will repent and turn back to God and we'll begin to listen to His voice, to walk in the Spirit means to listen to the voice of God. To walk in the Spirit is to listen to the voice of God. It's very important because it's the voice of the Lord speaking to your life. He will give you direction. He will show you where to go. He will show you what to do. And when you're in the place, some of us, we're journeying, we're trying to discover, where is that place, Lord? Show me where that place is at. Seek, and you shall find. You know what? God just needs to hand everything out like candy because it's so precious. There has to be an equipping. There has to be a conditioning of the heart. There has to be character development for the more precious things of God to be released in your life. That's why He doesn't always just give you like that. Sometimes you've got to go through something. Sometimes you've got to go through the process of boot camp before you can carry the real deal. Amen? Some of us, we want to jump right out of the crib, you know, into the pulpit. And we got to be careful because we can very easily, you know, be toppled because the character has not been developed to handle such a thing. God does this. It's a work of grace that He does in our hearts. But we have to be willing to take on the assignment that God gives us. Oh, we want the big grandiose assignment of God, you know. But if you don't learn this simple lesson, and I say it many times, is that if we don't learn to be faithful in the little thing, in the new beginning, in the fresh thing that He's given you to do, the little assignment God gives you, then you're not going to go to the next. Elijah was led of the Spirit because he obeyed God's voice. When he went to the place, to Cherith, amen, the brook Cherith, it was the place of God's appointment and of God's appointment and of His provision. And then there came a time when God was going to move him. Sometimes, folks, listen, if the river is continually dry in your life, you need to really ask God, God, what's going on? Am I where I'm supposed to be? I believe there's people out there, there's many people out there that are supposed to be here this morning. Some of them have never been here before, but they're supposed to be here this morning. That is their assignment, and that is the place where God is going to bless them. And this is between you and the Lord, but we also need to ask the Lord, is this the place of my assignment also? Now, that's a risky thing for me to say, but how many know that I love you enough to tell you the truth, and I want you to know that you are in the center of God's will for your life. God forbid that I should interfere with God's will and purpose for your life. But one thing I'm discovering, and even Brother Larry the other night had confirmed this, is that the people that are supposed to be here are like Velcro. They come and they stick. And so we pray, and I pray this way, God, if they don't belong, move them on. Because if they're out of the will of God, they cannot be blessed. We want you to be in the will of God. That's between you and God. Amen? Are you in the will of God? And how do you know the will of God? Through worship. True worship. Worship in the Spirit. Singing. Worshiping. Amen? Meaning giving praise. Giving thanks in the Spirit. Giving of your resources, giving of your finances, yes. Honoring God with your tithe. That is worship. God accepts that as worship. Last week we talked about the tithe, that if you're not tithing, you're really being disobedient because that thing went through. Abraham, amen, preceded the law. People say, well, that was under the law. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek prior to the law. And Jesus said, give to God, amen, to Caesar what belongs to him. Pay taxes, in other words, to the government. If it's due, you be a good citizen, be responsible. Even Jesus paid taxes, amen. So if we're evading taxes, we're disobedient to the Lord. But also, give to God what is His. And I said this last week, that's between you and God. But if you want the devil out of your finances, I promise you, you start honoring him, amen? Listen to God, what he wants you to give. Give what he tells you to give, and he'll take care of it. Amen? He'll provide for you. Shoo. Thank you, Jesus. So the brook dries up here. Sometimes we think that because the brook dries up, that it's because we have sin in our lives. Anybody here believe that sin could make the brook dry up on you? Huh? Yeah. Sure it could. But is it always a result of sin? No. God is He is so precious that He is one that deserves to be sought. Guys, how many have ever pursued your woman? You had your sights on someone and you pursued her because she was precious. Amen? She's worth, you know, making the sacrifice for. If I can get that prize. You know, another notch on my belt, right? No. God pursues us. Jesus pursues His bride. He pursues us. He's out looking for us. But He also wants His bride to respond and to return love back to Him. Isn't it true that God even reigns on the just and the unjust? He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. God is good to everybody. God is good to people that don't love Him, that don't worship Him. God is good to those people too. Oh yes. Was God ever good to you before you knew Jesus? Wasn't it God who made the first move? Wasn't it God who first loved us? For God so loved the world. God loves you. He never stops that love, but He's waiting for you and I to respond, to return, to say, yes, when the Lord said to me, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. I don't need to be distracted by anything else. The most important thing right now is that I get a face-to-face encounter with the living God and I hear His voice speak to me and He gives me direction for my life. And when He gives me direction for my life, then I will be in the place of His favor, of His provision, of His blessing. Do you want God's blessing? Be a worshiper. Worship with your whole life. Live for His worship. And God will honor you. He says, I will honor those who honor me. He will honor you. Sometimes God has to dry the brook up to get us to move forward. To get us to move from the stagnant place where we've been, where we got used to, and it was nice for a season. The water was fine, the ravens, everything was coming in, man. When all of a sudden it dries up, God's saying, it's time for you to move. It's time for you to get up out of that place and go forward. It's time for you to grow a little bit more. I went to the pogo there. God wants us to grow up. Amen. And so, He'll dry up the brook. He will create a situation in your life so that you'll begin to shift away from that to what God is doing and say, okay, Lord, now what are you doing? I knew I was where I was supposed to be, but I sense a shift going. I sense something changing. Jesus and I know what that's all about, being in the ministry. There's times when there was a change coming and we knew it. God was preparing to move us somewhere else. Well, I haven't felt a change since we've been here, by the way. So, as a matter of fact, I believe God has got a long-term assignment for us here. I feel He's already spoken to me very clearly about that. And there's going to be much fruit. Hallelujah. How many experiencing today just the breakthrough of God and the liberty of God and the move of God's Spirit and God's favor? He's smiling on us, but God is looking for every one of us as individuals, individual clouds, if you will. We need to be seated, amen? We need to seat ourselves. We need to be prayed up. We need to be worshipers on our own. We need to be worshipers through the week so that when we come together on Sunday, we're not coming as a dried up brook, but we're coming as an impregnated cloud that's ready to have a cloud burst, amen? And when we're all like that, man, the glory of God's presence is going to be so intense. And there's a greater glory coming when all of us will get an understanding that we must live a life of worship to Jehovah, and in that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I am more happy now than ever in my life because Jesus lives in me. Because I worship God, and God wants us all to worship Him. He wants us to move to the place of fresh revelation. Come on, our life can get stagnant. It can get stale. And I don't like to be there. And there's times where we will be there for a season, but it's not that we should stay there. It's unfortunate that a lot of Christians, they get content in the place of stagnation. Basking in yesterday's bathwater, you know. It's old, it's rotten, it's stinky. It was good at one time, but now it's just stale. You know, like Brother Larry said, you know, lemon suckers, you know. Bless the Lord. Come on, let's have fun in Jesus, amen. Let's just rejoice in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I remember years ago how it used to be. Well, wonderful. What are you doing now? What is God doing now? You know, I have to check myself too because I've been in this quite a while now, and I can remember back in the 70s and the 80s, those songs that we were doing when I first came to the Lord. You know, how I love those songs, man. And yet there's something missing in them now. Once in a while, the Lord will shift us back for an orientation, you know. And we'll do an old song because it happened to touch or move. It was an experience in our life that brings a memory. It's a Bethel, you know. And yet, we'll find it, though, if we consistently do what we did 20 years ago, that it will be dead. It'll be stale. It'll be lifeless. And there are many churches that are closing their doors because the Lord is doing a new thing. There's a new sound from heaven, and they're not willing to go away from the brook, you know, that dried up. They're just content to stay there. The Spirit has left, and they haven't. What we need to say is, God, what needs to shift in me? What needs to change in me? What do I need to do, Lord, to get into the place where you want me to be? Because it's there where your provision will be. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're going to have to wait. Don't get impatient on God either. Waiting on the provision, because God will make provision for you. Just make sure you're in the place. And if you're in the place where He plants you, you will flourish. You will bear fruit. Come on, I see fruit all over some of you. I didn't say you're a fruit. I said you're bearing fruit. There's joy on faces. Hallelujah. There's peace in the house. What does God do? From the brook Cherith, He tells them to do, He gives them a new assignment. He says, now I want you to go to the widow at Zarephath. Amen? He gives them a fresh revelation. And guess what? It was there, everybody say there, that God made provision. Where? In the will, in the place that God assigns, is where the provision would be. Hallelujah. So, interesting that, let's look at this. This thing is really helping me here. It keeps blowing my stuff all around, but it feels good. I hope you're cool out there too. He said in verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. He didn't say just go there and move on, dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. What was that? That was an act of faith. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, as she was going, there was a response first to the man of God. And then as she went, he said, what? Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Then she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said, now that sounds pretty reasonable to me, right? This guy, you're getting ready to eat your last meal, you're going to die. And this dude shows up and says, now give me some of that. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Isn't that the way God operates? He does not operate in fear. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Honor God with the first. Amen? The best of what you have to offer, whether it's your resources or your talents, your abilities, offer it to God. Give the best to God. Amen? And he gives, and so, and afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. Do you see that? First God, then our stuff. Take care of his things, he takes care of your things. Honor him, he honors you. Bless others, and the blessing will come back to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And so he went, and he, see, for thus says the Lord, verse 14 of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her and he and her household ate for many days. Excuse me. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now, what do we see? Once again, we see now a person who was not necessarily a worshiper of God, yet was able to identify the anointing. They were able to identify the Spirit of God upon a person, and they honored that presence. It didn't matter who the person was. Do you know what? Sometimes we get too common, too familiar with each other, and yet we're not to know anybody any longer according to the flesh. Do you see that? We're supposed to recognize each other in the Spirit, and according to the Spirit of God that is upon your life, and your anointing is to be honored. The presence in your life is to be honored and respected. And when I give to you and when I bless you, God blesses me. And when you bless others, God will bless you. So she gave to the man of God, who she was not even a worshiper, but because she recognized something was different about this man. And she gave to him, it was giving unto the Lord, and she didn't even realize it. But as she blessed the man of God, she blessed God. Now I'm not up here to be, this is not a bless me moment. I'm just saying that you and I in Christ are his bride. We are his people. We have been gifted by God. If the Spirit of the living God is in you, then that which is in you is precious. Amen? You are his chosen. You are his called out one. You are a king and a priest unto God. That's who you are. And because of that, we need to be very careful that we do not dishonor or disrespect or speak against the people of God. It doesn't matter what they did. And believe me, I've been tested many times in this way, and I have not always been successful. But we have to guard this thing. Be very careful what you speak against another brother or sister because of the anointing. But if you honor and you bless the people of God, you're honoring and you're blessing God. When you love the people of God, you're loving on God. When you are a worshiper, you are worshiping. Amen? God, you are loving on God. To worship God is to love on God. And we do it with a whole heart. We do it with a whole life. How many here would say, I want God's blessing? I want God's favor in my life. Then what we need to do is we need to repent. You need to repent right now. You need to make up your mind that I'm no longer going to follow the dictates of my heart, but I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to get into a place with God where I have a face-to-face encounter. And from that face-to-face encounter, the Lord will give me a revelation. He will give me a word to where I am to go and what I am to do. And where I am, Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. And in the place that Jesus is the favor, is the blessing of God. Are you hearing that? In the place of God's blessing, amen, is the place where God meets us because we're in His assignment. I know that was confusing. I confused myself on that one too. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I got to listen to the tape afterwards and say, oh, that's pretty good preaching. It had to be God. I couldn't have said that. I couldn't have thought of that. Why, though, this particular widow? Quickly, we only got another hour. Move to Luke chapter 4. Are you enjoying this so far? Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. Jesus stands up in the synagogue and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down, and the eyes of all of them who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The word was there. The one they were reading about was personified in flesh and bone, amen? Yes, and even blood at that time was there standing before them. Verse 22, they all bore witness to Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Wow, I wonder why. He was the Word. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? You know, the commonality, right? Well, this is just the carpenter's son. Too familiar, not discerning who they had in front of them. Again, discern according to the Spirit your brother and your sister. Don't look and dwell on the weakness. God's working on weaknesses in all of us. Look at the grace. Look at the gift of God that's at work in their life. Rejoice and celebrate them because they are part of His family. And they're your brother, your sister. And I want you to look at this in verse 25. Well, verse 24, He said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Familiarity. But I tell you truly, sorry, that gets your attention. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. There was a great famine throughout all the land. Verse 26, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, here it is, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. A specific assignment, a specific person, amen, place. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Why? That was the assignment. And in the place of your assignment is where God's going to be. That's where His blessing is going to be. Some of you are experiencing that right here and right now in this place that God has called you to this work for such a time as this. I think probably the majority of us, if not everybody, is supposed to be here right now. That's between you and God. But what I want you to know is that when you are in the place of your assignment, there will be the provision, the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. You will flourish. You will bear fruit in due season. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. And in due season, hey, your light will break through. Your light will come. We know that God, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, says He is not a respecter of persons. So why would God choose this widow when there were so many in the land? It is because she discerned. She had a heart that discerned the Spirit of God. And she honored the man of God who was sent from God. Amen? And because of that, her and her family, her boy, were abundantly taken care of. Do you see that? When you bless others and you bless people, that's why when you give, you should give into good soil. Give into ministries that are doing something, amen, accomplishing for the kingdom. Give to people who have the anointing on their lives. Bless them. We're going to have an offering. You can all give to me afterwards. No, I'm kidding. But that means you. That means others. And as you do that, God will rebuke the devourer. God will bring your light in. Amen? As the dawn. He is a good God. He's not a respecter of persons. But people who will recognize the Spirit of God. People who will honor God. People, I'm almost done, who are worshipers. Worshipers will receive the blessing of God. People who reject the Spirit of the Lord will be impoverished spiritually. That's why I sing. That's why we shout. That's why we give thanks. That's why we give praise. That's why, you know, we give thanks. We give offerings unto the Lord. That's why we support His work. Why? Because it's our worship to God. God accepts those things as worship. And He's looking, seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, looking for them, Lord, whose hearts are loyal. He's got His eye on the people who worship Him. He's got His eye on the lives of those who with their whole life worship God. With their mind, with their thoughts, with their deeds. Amen? With the fruit of their lips. With their substance. They honor God. They worship God with all that they have. The favor of God rests upon that person. How many here are blessed already? Thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord to us today. We thank You that we, Lord, are Your people. We thank You that Your Spirit is richly being outpoured upon us in this place. Father, we pray that You will give us revelation as to the will and the purpose of God for our lives. Father, that not one of us here will walk through life never knowing what Your will is, not being in Your assignment. But God, show us that assignment so that where You are, that's where we're going to be, Jesus. Because we want to be where You are. We want to walk with You closely. We want to seek Your face and hear Your voice. We want to be on assignment so that, God, all things will work together for good.